The Culture Proof Podcast thanks BJU Press Homeschool, our premier sponsor. We are super excited about biblical worldview woven into every subject that we teach. We are also excited about the BJU Press Homeschool secret sauce. I'm talking about the homeschool consultants who are spread all across the country, who once you purchase your curriculum, don't leave you to figure it out by yourself. They are there for you and with you on your homeschooling journey. I cannot recommend more highly BJU Press Homeschool, that comes equipped with homeschooling consultants who are praying for you, who are walking alongside you as you disciple and train your kids and ready them to live in a culture that is hostile to truth. Visit our friends today at BJUPressHomeschool.com. That's BJUPressHomeschool.com. Tell them that the Addison sent you.
Sometimes people ask me, like, why did you write this book? What was the purpose? And I was like, I have a short-term goal and a long-term goal. The short-term goal is that that what the moms and parents take from this book, the principles, the biblical principles, that they take those and they live them out within the four walls of their homes, mm-hmm. specifically in the way that God leads them with their family. Because yes. I think we have this thing going on where we're either really word heavy or really spirit heavy. Mm. And you know what? And to the detriment of yes. one or the other. Yes. And so I say we have these biblical principles that God so graciously gave us. They're very clear. But how we walk those out with our families mm-hmm. requires the Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening to Culture Proof. I'm Miki, and I am doing a special episode. It's sort of like it's a coffee visit episode with Dorinda Wilson, who has over 30 years of parenting and homeschooling experience. And the reason we're talking today is because she's written a new book, Raising Boys to Men, a simple, mercifully short book on raising and homeschooling boys. And this really grabbed my attention because I thought, man, you know, I have four boys. And so this is something I should probably pay attention to. Dorinda, I'm hoping that you will, and I hate to say it this way, but I feel like people listening would kind of go, okay, well, what are your credentials? Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, what qualifies you to tell me how to raise my son? And so the point is, you do have experience in raising boys and seeing them grow to men, and the Lord has given you wisdom in doing that. Tell us a little bit about your family makeup.
Okay. Well, I've been married to my husband, Daryl, for 34 years, and we have 8 kids. 5 of them are boys. Mm. 4 of those boys were born in less than 6 years, one at a time.
Whoa.
So there was a real string of, you know, boy going on in our house, because we started with 2 girls, and then we had the 4 boys, and then we had another girl, and mm-hmm. then we had another boy. And now we have 11 grandchildren so far, and 7 of those are boys. And most of them live right here around us on our property. So I am around boys of all ages all the time.
Wow. Okay. Yes, amen. and probably, I mean, I think it's great at various stages, you know, to be able to testify to the goodness of God, you know, both in raising your sons and also raising grandsons. You know,
right.
I think there's something about that that's such a blessing. Tell us about the importance of writing this book. One of the things I appreciated is the way you began the book and really acknowledging that we have a crisis when it comes to letting our boys be boys and yes. recognizing that they are different from our girls. You know, there used to be a time in our culture, Dorinda, where it was okay to acknowledge the obvious differences between
right.
boys and girls. We, you know,
right.
and we could say, no, that's not fitting. And we felt confident that we could say what was boy and
right.
what was girl. And now we're in a time, I feel, where we can't really say that. Talk a little bit about that.
I agree completely. I think that is one of the main reasons that I wrote this book, other than just having a passion for raising boys in a way that encourages them toward godly manhood. What I see is that the culture and the church, because the church has been so influenced by the culture in many ways, we're in a crisis when it comes to masculinity. And so we're being lied to and have been lied to for years in all kinds of ways about gender, about masculinity. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that moms know, like we know there's differences. We know that, right? We're the ones raising the boys, right? But we're struggling to reconcile what we know to be true about our boys, these good and wonderful things, and then what the culture and unfortunately much of the church is telling us. So we're sort of at a crossroads, I feel like. And the message that we're getting overall is that being male is bad and being masculine is even worse. And so there's this, what we're seeing in our culture is the upcoming generation is starting to recognize that this is happening. And so you've got a group of people who are trying to push masculinity in an unbiblical way, mm-hmm. and with unbiblical principles, and it is toxic. It can be toxic. What I'm talking about in this book is biblical masculinity, which is what God has planned for us as mankind, mm-hmm. a human race. It's a very important part of that. And we're missing that. And so what we're needing to do as moms is to look to scripture, look to God's framework for our definition of masculinity. And I think that what we really need, my hope, so I've got a short-term goal and I've got a long-term goal when it comes to this book. Mm-hmm. My short-term goal is that parents, I write specifically to moms because I do believe that that's my role biblically, mm-hmm. is to mentor moms. Now, if they take this and share it with their husbands, wonderful. They can talk about it and decide how they're going to implement things. But I want to equip moms specifically because we have the boys a lot more, especially in the early years, yes. when the character formation is happening. And you know, boys aren't going out into the fields with their dads like they used to back in the day. So we're dealing with some different dynamics. So we need to be aware of how we're raising them. Are we raising them or trying to raise them just like our girls? Mm-hmm. Or are we actually acknowledging and honoring the differences and actually encouraging those and taking that energy they have and putting it towards something productive? But my short-term goal is that parents would take these principles, the biblical principles, and implement them within the four walls of their homes. So yes. Obedience to God within the four walls of their homes. If we start to see that happening, I'm telling you, the long-term goal that I have in mind will happen because we've seen it in scripture over and over again. When parents are faithful to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and specifically we're talking about boys,
yes.
who are made to be leaders and influencers. They were made to conquer, to protect, to build, to provide. So we raise this next generation. In 10 to 15 years, if we are raising them biblically, we're going to see a humongous shift in the culture. And it will be for the good. It will be for godliness. It will be for the kingdom.
Amen.
But what we're needing is men who are willing to fight against the moral and political overreach that is hell-bent on destroying the family. And one of the first ways that they do that is building a godly family themselves.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then, but we need men who are kind and they understand how to help the helpless, but they're not afraid to wage war when necessary because they love what and who they're fighting for. And this is what we want to instill in our boys. And if you think about it, I did do a, I don't know if you made it to the quote by G.K. Chesterton that sort of beautifully sort of gives you a picture of what I'm talking about. G.K. Chesterton said, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him."
Oh, that's so good.
Amen. And so this is what we want to encourage our little guys toward. And, you know, I know it's so difficult when they're 4 years old and you're like, this kid is like giving me heck. Like, I don't even know what to do with him. I had one, and I think we all probably end up with at least one who struggles with anger, right? Mm. And so I talked about this on one of my recent podcast episodes and interviewed my son, the one son who really struggled with it. And he is actually known as an adult for his patience. So my point is,
wow,
don't judge your four-year-old and think, that kid is never going to be the godly man. How are we ever going to get him from here to there? You're going to get him from here to there by walking in obedience to
Amen.
God
Amen.
Daily. Yeah.
Dorinda, I want to back up to, I feel like you've given us just here a flyover of kind of where we need to aim and what we need to see as like the attacks on our God-given role as moms.
Yes.
But now I kind of want to walk back here for a second, because when you began, you pointed to the cultural overreach, as I would like to call it, right? Where mm-hmm. our culture just sort of lunges away from objective truth, our culture lunges away from biblical authority. And mm-hmm. then along with that comes new cultural norms that seep into our families, seep into our churches. And we yes. begin to adopt that as if it is a suitable replacement for the authoritative word of God. What I'm curious about is where you recognize that, where you have observed that, and you can point that out to us moms who are, you know, some of us. So we have six children, four of them are boys. And so we've got 14, 9, 7, and 3. And so I want to say, like, we're in the midst of it. Mm-hmm. We're at the beginning of it because of the age range that we have. It may be difficult for us to see what life was like when we were growing up. I mean, we have a sense of this, but of course we weren't raising boys when we were growing up. We were growing right. up, right?
Right?
And so I'm hoping that you can point out to us moms the ways that our culture rebels against God in the rearing of boys. Like help us see some of the subtle ways that we may even be complicit in this sort of, you know, moving away from God's word because something has become culturally normative. Like, I guess what I'm asking is, can you kind of juxtapose for me a time ago that it was biblically sound, what we were doing? It's not just a part of our tradition, you know, when I was growing up. No, we right. were adhering to the word of God. Here is what we did with boys versus today. Here's what we are doing with boys. And it's a subtle departure from truth.
Well, I think there's so many ways that we've been influenced and informed by the culture. Even if we disagree with it, like in theory and even in our heads, mm-hmm. we say, no, that's not right. That's wrong. There are, you're right, subtle ways that it influences how we raise our boys. And I think probably the number one thing that I would say is that when we allow what other people think to create fear in us. Mm. So let's just say we're out and about. I'll give you a story
okay.
That I tell in the book. We raised our kids out in the country. But when our youngest was, I want to say he was 10 or 12, we moved to town temporarily. And so he was used to just being outside running. I mean, we let our kids do airsoft. We had nothing. We don't have a problem with guns, you know, like, obviously being responsible with them and all of that, that doesn't even probably need to be said, but you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
the boys could be boys. They love their camo. They love their airsoft wars. I mean, they did that kind of stuff. And so we move into town and our youngest does what boys do. He took a gun outside. It was a rusty, beat up BB gun that mm-hmm. hadn't worked. We bought it at a yard sale and it wasn't working when we bought it. Like it was just so pathetic, but he loved that gun. And so he was outside in the front yard, laying on his belly and just pretending to shoot things. The neighbor called the police. Okay. So the police come over and we think, oh, this is absolutely ridiculous. When they see the gun, they're gonna laugh. Right.
Right?
So
right.
my husband brought the gun to the door and they weren't amused. They didn't even crack a smile. And then went on to say, can we talk to your son? So at the time, we didn't know our son was on the spectrum, but we knew our son. And so we said, yes, you can do that. And so he came to the door and they kind of went on. And at a certain point, my husband just looked at them and said, that's enough. That's enough. You've made your point. And he sent our son back in the house. And so it's things like that where I could have, it was easy for me to become fearful. Mm. Oh, now I have to watch him all the time. I can't let him, you know, just be a boy. I can't let him be free. I can't, you know, so it's navigating those situations where you just have to, because when you go into the next situation, you could easily react out of fear, mm-hmm. you know, because you're worried, oh, this happened. So now this could happen. And all of a sudden you are putting a lid continually on your boy. And so that's just one little example, but I think we look at the bigger examples of education. We are expecting our boys to learn like girls. The classroom is set up for, it's set up for girls, not boys. And so I know some people have their kids in school and they're like, well, how do I change that? You need to advocate for your son. You need to advocate for time outside. If you homeschool, you have control of that. Mm-hmm. So parents who are homeschooling that are listening, give that time for your boys to get that energy out. Our culture sees aggression as a negative thing, this aggression that our boys seem to have. And here's the thing, this is a feature, not a bug in our boys. They were wired by their creative toward aggressiveness. And obviously it's a sliding scale. I have boys who are less aggressive. I have boys who are more aggressive. But the point is they are all tend to be more aggressive than girls, right? Mm-hmm. Because they were created to build, lead, protect, provide, and conquer. Even how they bond. We bond over a cup of coffee and chatting and talking, and they bond like with competition physical, like literally aggression towards each other. And so there's this idea that we have from the culture, another way that we're informed by the culture, that we are to raise nice guys. Mm. That's what we're called to do. Even the church is telling us, just raise a nice guy. No, God is calling us to raise warriors and dragon slayers. Like that's what we're called to do.
Yeah.
And the culture is not going to change until we have those men in place. And moms, that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
We are raising those men to take the place of these wicked, evil men that are in power. And I'm telling you, it will happen because when we raise men of God, they are wise, discerning. They're wise as serpents, gentle as doves. They will be able to make their way into these positions and change the course of our country. I firmly believe that.
Yeah.
But we have to make the investment now. And if each family does their part and you multiply that to over thousands of families, I'm telling you, it's going to be a game changer.
Are you looking for something fun and impactful for your kids to participate in this summer? Maybe you will allow them to join us and our family for a week in North Carolina at The Refuge. This is in Aiden, North Carolina. For one entire week, we and our family and a bunch of teenagers.
And mayflies.
And mayflies who all love Jesus. We don't know if the mayflies love Jesus, but the kids certainly love Jesus. We're going to be teaching biblical worldview. This is a week intensive of equipping and training kids to defend the truth of what they believe and to be able to stand boldly in a culture that is hostile to that truth. You can learn more by going to ncrefuge.org. That's ncrefuge.org. July 21st through the 26th, you have the opportunity to join us and our entire family for a week of culture proofing.
Yes. It's going to be fun. It's going to be intensive. It's going to be great. It's going to be some memories that they're going to be able to take back home with them. So sign your child up now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm thinking of an example with our son. He is 14 now. And so this had to, I guess he was maybe 10 at the time. And, you know, he was outside playing and playing with kids in the neighborhood. And we live in this world. So one of the ways that we culture proof our kids is that we're not trying to bubble wrap them, Dorinda. Like we're not trying to, we are trying to equip them to live in this world. This is the world that they are living in, right? And so we just want them to be fortified to stand. So we allow them outside and we allow them playing with kids in the neighborhood who may not share the same convictions that we have. Now we did that quality controlled, okay? Like, hold on, you cannot play with that kid. That kid is okay, but we are watching. You know what I mean? That kid is okay, go ahead. And so our kids are outside, they're playing, you know, and my son came in one day, and he was about 10 years old, 9 or 10, and he says, they're playing, and there's a neighbor girl who says to him, and she doesn't live in our neighborhood anymore, but she says to him at the time, she says, you know, girls can be whatever they want to be. And common kid conversation, you know? And our son said he said, and so mom, you know, he goes, I told her, well, they can't be whatever they want to be. I mean, you know, he goes, they can be lots of things, but they can't be whatever they want to be. And then she says, girls can be whatever they want to be. If they want to be boys, even, they can be boys. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, so this is something that she has drawn from her environment, right? Understand that this is in the world. Here is my son that we are actively working to culture proof. And so there is this tension where you want to teach, and my husband bristles at this word, but I'm going to use it. You do want to teach your kids to be winsome. He thinks that sometimes winsome is a synonym for softness, that we don't want to tell the truth. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm careful about that. But you want them to be winsome, but you want them to tell the truth, right?
Absolutely.
And so
Absolutely.
In this moment, he says to her, that is factually wrong. He goes, mm-hmm. biologically, it is impossible for a girl to become a boy. That is just absurd, you know? And he said she started crying. Whoa. And right? Like she got really upset. He goes, mom, she just started crying and like yelling, you know, girls can be whatever they want to be. Girls can be boys if they want to be boys. And he said, and because I said to him, what did you do? And I'm trying to imagine this from his perspective, right? Because sometimes you think of men. And what happens to them when women start crying? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do with that, you know?
Right.
So I go, what did you say? What did you do? And he said, I told her that her emotions don't change the truth. And I go, oh, that's great. Yes.
That I love that.
Perfect. Because
the
reason I bring that up as an example is because it goes to your point that we are trying to make our boys into girls, and we are letting this over hyper feminization in our culture soften our boys. That, you know, because I think that the culture would say to him that he needed to back down. He needed to consider that she was emotionally distraught and he needed to agree with her error. My position is, you can't do anything against the truth. 2 Corinthians, you can't do anything against the truth, only for the truth. And so why would we encourage our boys to consider the softer side of Sears, if you will, rather than just lean into the truth? And I think this is another one of those instances that you're talking about where, you know, the culture is telling us that our boys basically don't have permission to be boys.
Correct. And that emotions are the most important thing. Mm. How you feel about something matters more than the facts. And that simply is not true.
Yeah.
You know, and I say this in the book when I talk about parenting our boys, mothering our boys, we want to mother them from a place of faith, not a place of fear.
So we can't
let the culture influence how we're seeing our boys. And that's what I wanted to do in the book, was to change or clarify mm-hmm. to moms the truth about their boys so that they can move forward, not emotionally, but in truth. I mean, God's given us emotions. They're a wonderful thing. They're part of that's part of what makes us wonderful nurturers mm-hmm. and moms and all of that. But we have to parent our kids, and specifically, we're talking about our boys, from a place of faith, and we need to respond to them, not react to them. So you talk about the whole emotion thing, how the culture does tell us that emotions are king.
Like yeah.
I say throughout the book, emotions are a great warning light. They're a terrible GPS.
That's why we have
to be focused on the principles of God's word when it comes to raising our kids. And we have to respond to them in faith, not react to them in fear. And so, because when we do that, when we don't emotionally parent our kids and specifically our boys, we're telling them emotions are not the king. God is the king. And what he says is true is always true, no matter how we feel. And so that's something we as moms, we can easily fall into the trap of manipulating our kids, specifically our boys, with our emotions. Mm. You know, so we'll say something like, do you realize how that made me feel? Or, you know, just all of a sudden it becomes about us. It cannot be about us. Mm. It has to be about what is God's plan and purpose for our sons and for our children. And so we continually go to God's word. We continually ask for wisdom from the Holy Spirit, because here's the thing. I think that as believers, we tend different denominations lean heavily towards, you know, only scripture, not really mentioning the Holy Spirit, and then vice versa.
Come on.
So it's at the detriment of the other. So what we want to do, and so this is my hope, is that as parents are reading the book, they're going to see God's clear principles, but then they're going to ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom and how to implement those in a way that is a good fit for their family, because every family is unique. Every set of parents, their marriage, their family culture is unique. And that is intentional. Like, God wants our families to be unique, but we need his wisdom to know how to walk out that, you know, his principles in that unique way for our particular family, for the mission that he has for our family, for the plans and purposes he has for our kids.
Dorinda, you have a great example in the book, great illustration of the differences between men and women. And especially as we see that in parenting, I love that you trusted your readers with some of your personal examples, right? And I'm thinking of this one example that you share where you've got one kid, and this may be the kid who struggled with anger, I don't know, but you've got one kid who is kind of upsetting the apple cart. You know, he's upsetting the home, hitting the other kids, getting out of line, just annoying them. And you are talking to him daily, and right, he's just not getting it. And you bring this to your husband, and your husband is like, okay, great, got it, I'm going to deal with it, and brings them all together. And it's like, okay, the next time he hits you, punch him in the arm.
Right.
But the epilogue is he doesn't hit anyone after that. Like, he straightens up. And so talk to us a little bit about, you know, understanding that we as moms, because there are several things that I drew from that, right? One, we moms, and I know we know this, but I don't think we often live it. We need our husbands to be dads. We need that. This is not an optional, like, this is, no, God has given them wisdom as the men that they are to instruct and to train our children, not as sort of just an echo for us, right? That we bring the instruction and then they say, listen to your mother. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the stereotype that we get about dads. Dads have a leadership role. And so when I read that, I thought, yay, I think, right?
I know. I thought the same thing.
Yeah. Go ahead. Talk about that.
Okay. Yes. So we do definitely need our husbands. So the first thing that I want to make absolutely clear is the reason that we can trust our husbands in, you know, asking them for wisdom, going to them, is because that role is a God-given role. I just want to clarify that. God has put them in that position. So whether they do it like us or not is actually not the point.
Yeah. That's good.
Whether we think their idea is great or not isn't actually the point.
Mm-hmm.
The point is God has put them in that position. Okay. So, and obviously I'm assuming you've got a husband who isn't harming anybody, hurting anybody. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, this particular situation. I was at my wit's end trying to come up with some creative way to get this kid to listen. It wasn't the one who struggles with anger, by the way.
Okay.
This guy was just a poke the bear, like, go to everybody in the house until every little corner of the house was filled with, like, angst.
Oh my goodness.
And it was just ruining the peace in our home. And as moms, we're the gatekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
We set the tone in the home. If the home is chaotic, that's on us.
Mm.
So I strove for peace in our home, not peace at all costs, not peace at the cost of truth, but peace in a way that the Holy Spirit would lead us to peace, right? So we're called to peace as brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's the same thing with our kids. Like, we're teaching them how to be the body of Christ. So they are called to we're called to peace in our household. So we move to that end using biblical principles to get there. So that's identifying sin, that's repenting, that's apologizing, all of those things. But back to the husbands. So my husband has a leadership role. So I pray, I ask God to give him wisdom. That's the first thing.
Yes.
Because I have to trust that if God put him in that position, God can speak to him about how to walk out that role.
Amen.
So I pray, and Sometimes I would remember to pray before I went to him. Sometimes I wouldn't. But I went to him and I was like, you know, how do you feel about 7 kids instead of 8? Because I'm going to take this kid out. And like, he was like, whoa, let's like come back from the ledge, you know? Yeah. So he pulled, talked me back and yeah, he sat everybody down and affirmed that this was actually happening and then gave the directive, you know, if he provokes or whatever. And what I realized was like, I needed him. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any other better ideas. So I'm like, okay, I guess we're just going to go with this. Right. And I walked away from it realizing I don't have to like his ideas. Mm. Like if I can say, you know what, this is what your dad is saying to do. So this is what we're going to do, because it took me a while to get there. There were several times I had gone to him and he would give me an idea and I would think, this just seems so simplistic. Like, wow, this is never going to work in my head. I didn't say it out loud.
Sure.
And I just wouldn't do it. And then I would just get more and more and more frustrated. And then I finally would implement his idea because I was desperate. And I realized it worked beautifully. And I think it's not just about the idea being a good idea. It's about me yielding to God's plan for our family. Mm. Me respecting and honoring my husband's role. God honored whatever idea it was, even if, you know, it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't have to be the best idea. It's the fact that I'm saying, I trust you, God, to lead through my husband. And I say to my husband, I trust you to lead our family. Mm-hmm. And I give him the opportunities to do that. See, we often as women, we say, I want my husband to be the leader of the home. But then when we don't like how they're doing it, we take it back.
Oh, man.
And this happens over and over and over again. And this goes back to the garden.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So Eve was just going to, her constant struggle is going to be wanting to rule over her husband's. Moms, we need to pay attention to that because that is a core thing that we're going to struggle with at, you know, because it's there from the beginning. And so pay attention to that and recognize that and just be prayerful, you know, pray over your husband and trust the Lord.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you brought that rebuke back to Genesis, because I think when we talk about, you know, not being submitted to our husbands, not trusting their leadership, I think that that can be indicative of a relationship that is not in sync with the Lord, not trusting even his leadership. You know, I think that there's a lot of control that moms struggle with. And we think that we have the best idea on any given day, you know, and I think sometimes it's humbling for us to recognize the reality that the Lord has not placed it all in us. It's not all in us.
Especially when it comes to our boys.
Yeah.
So my husband understands how guys think. Mm-hmm. I mean, our men understand. They get our sons way better than we do. So when we go to them and say, okay, this is what happened, this is how I responded, or this is how he responded, and then this happened, and I don't understand any of it. Can you help me connect the dots? And then also just equipping yourself. Like, read good. I have a list of some, it's a short list of reading recommendations at the end of my book, because I think a lot of times once moms start realizing, gosh, this resonates with, I see this to be true, these things that Dorinda's saying about our sons, but I want to know more. I want to dig even deeper. And so I put a few recommendations at the end. So equip yourself. Like, that's our responsibility as moms. If we don't know something, then we need to ask the Lord for wisdom and ask him for good resources and equip ourselves to do the job that God has put in front of us. And of course, a lot of it is his equipping. I always love, because as moms, I don't know, as a mom of many and just as a person in general, I get overwhelmed really easily. Mm-hmm. So my prayer was always, Lord, if there's something I need to know for these kids or for these boys, would you please bring it to me? Like, put it in front of my face more than once and get my attention. And then I'll pursue that, you know, because we are so over-resourced as a culture. So we do have to use wisdom in choosing our resources well, but at the same time, be humble, willing to learn, because that's how we're going to best learn how to encourage our boys towards manhood.
Dorinda, I want to do this. I want to do a follow-up episode with you. And in this episode, I want to hear about your failures as a boy mom. Okay. I want you to tell us the mistakes that you made and help us avoid making those mistakes. But we're going to do that in a part two, because I also want to reveal some of the conviction that I drew from what I was reading in your book. And just real talk, like, oh Lord, I do that. Lord, that is me. And I even shared it with my husband. I was like, hey, and why? Because I want accountability. Because I want to say, hey, I see that in myself. And those words that Dorinda wrote didn't fall on deaf ears or eyes. And so, or blind eyes, I should say. So I want to do that in a follow-up. Can we do a follow-up episode?
I'd love to. That'd be great.
I want to let our listeners know where they can get a copy of your book and how they can connect with you. Also, they can listen to your podcast, the Dorinda Wilson podcast. So tell our listeners how they can keep up with you.
Okay. Well, I have a website, dorindawilson.com. You can find my books there, but I usually just direct people to Amazon because it's just so much easier for them, I think, too.
Sure,
it takes longer. Sure. I take longer to fill the orders than Amazon does. So you can find my books there. You can also find me at the Dorinda Wilson podcast, and that you can listen to that from any of your favorite platforms. We've got over 3 million downloads, over 500 episodes. There's a search bar on the podcast page, and so that you can put in a keyword and the episodes will come up that are on that topic. And where I'm also in the middle of recording Raising Boys to Men, the audiobook. Mm. And so that'll be out April 15th, and that will only be at my website.
That's fantastic. Dorinda, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I just want to remind our listeners, as we often do, even in the rearing of our boys, when we resist the cultural trends that rival the truth, we remain culture proof. Until next time, Lord willing, God bless.